This is HPR episode 2429 entitled, Interface Zero RPG Play, and is part of the series, Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by Klaatu, and is about 32 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Klaatu, Lomath, and Thadge play the Interface Zero RPG Part 2.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by AnHonestHost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hey everyone, this is Klaatu. You're listening to Hack Public Radio. This is another entry in the Interface Zero miniseries. Interface Zero. I didn't really mention what that was last time. I just kind of talked about RPGs and talked about the world, and then we just kind of started playing. So this time I figured maybe it would be a good idea to discuss a little bit exactly what we are playing. So the rule set that we're using is, as I did mention last time, Pathfinder. Pathfinder, it was a company, well, Paizo is a company, and they were writing the Dragon magazine on behalf of Dungeons & Dragons back in the, I don't know, let's call it the 90s. I mean, for years, actually, previous to that. But then in the 90s, no, it might have been in the 2000s, actually. And they were working on the magazine, and then the contract or whatever expired, and it was not renewed. So what this kind of meant was that they had built up a really solid user base of people who were coming to them for Dungeons & Dragons content and now had no official license to release Dungeons & Dragons content. So what they did was they forked Dungeons & Dragons at the 3.5 edition, or essentially the third edition, but technically it's the 3.5 edition. They forked Dungeons & Dragons because of the open game license, and they created their own version of Dungeons & Dragons, which we now call Pathfinder. So that's Pathfinder. Dungeons & Dragons, of course, is still a thing, and it's still a thriving thing, and they've done a lot of really cool things to simplify the rules. So it's worth checking out both Dungeons & Dragons proper and Pathfinder, and it's really just up to you as to which one you either prefer or just which one you have other people who want to, maybe they have preferences, and so that's the group that you're going to end up playing with. It's up to you. Point being, Pathfinder is the rule set. Now, on top of Pathfinder, some people over at a company called Gunmetal Games came up with this mod for Pathfinder to bring it into the cyberpunk universe. So it's completely different from Pathfinder. It shares none of the common history or lore of the Pathfinder universe in terms of the fiction. It just uses the Pathfinder rules, or most of them, and applies a completely different fiction over the top, and its fiction is this cyberpunk. Now, I've gone through and modified it a little bit for our game, and I've even modified some of the rules to make it a little bit more true to Pathfinder, actually. So what we're doing is not exactly what was written in the Interface Zero book, but I found the Interface Zero book on a site called DriveThruRPG, thought it sounded fun, and that's how we got to where we are now. If you want to play a cyberpunk game under an open game license, Interface Zero is not a bad choice. Another choice might be Starfinder. Starfinder is the official and brand new, it was just released, the official sci-fi universe released by Paizo. So it's again, it's using Pathfinder-ish rules, although it's a little bit different. And I mean, it has to be different because you got hackers and technicians rather than wizards and dragons, you know? So it's got to be a little bit modified, but it's still within that same ballpark, and it's more sci-fi centric. Well, it's very sci-fi centric. It's set in the future, and it's flexible enough that you could sort of hammer out a cyberpunk world using that rule set. So one of those two, Starfinder or Interface Zero, if you want, you can play open game license cyberpunk as much as you want, just like me, Taj, and Lobath are doing right now. Taj, Lobath, so you've entered the building, you've gotten in, you've burst down the back door, and you've fought off the protective kill-anything-that-moves robot successfully, but the service elevator in the back of the building has been called up to an upper floor.
Well, that wasn't as quiet as I was hoping.
Yeah, shooting in an enclosed space, probably not.
Okay, so what's the plan, guys?
Let's see. I think I could try to hack and stop the elevator, bring it back down.
I love it. Try it.
All right. 12 is 20.
Nice. So you're in. Are we... I don't know that it says, like, once you've broken through a firewall, I guess that should be... You should know.
Yeah, let's say
you've owned that network now.
Say I had an AI left in there, or left a little program in there to let me back in.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So your roll of 20, you said 20.
Yeah.
Could be against. Yeah, the elevator.
Try to stop the elevator.
Cool. Yeah. So let's do that. So I mean, at 20, absolutely, you beat an elevator protocol. So what do you? You just pull it back down. You said.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it down to us, and then how about we step in and see who is calling it?
Sounds like a plan.
Cool. Okay. Elevator sort of halts, chunks to a sudden halt, and just reverses. Clearly not really used to having this much action in its life. But it comes back down, doors open, it's empty, and you say you want to get in?
Yeah, I think we should go see who was calling it.
Do you have that information from your hack to where it was coming from or where it was going?
I don't think it would have had the destination sort of on the network information. So I could be wrong, but let's say that it didn't. But if you step in, the person who called it will likely call it again. And so you
will try to push the button again. Yeah. So we'll just step in and then and let someone call it back up.
Cool. So you step in, the doors come to a close, and just moments later, the thing is punched, and it's the fifth floor, which you know is the penultimate floor, the one right under the, well, under the sixth floor, but that's the top of the building. So the fifth floor is calling the service elevator, and so the elevator starts to progress upward.
All right, should I stay hacked in here? Let's see, what can I see on the fifth floor, since I know we're going up there?
Okay, yeah, so you turn your...
In hyperspace.
Yep, you turn your attention to the fifth floor, and you see the typical camera, which possibly you could hack into and actually view footage from. And you see, you definitely see several weapons, networked weapons, like military grade rifles and things like that. So there are about two rifles that have network connections to someone's personal network. And that's basically all you see. Well, and there are the usual key card entries to different apartment rooms and things like that.
All right. It sounds like we got two foes up there, two guards up there. See if I can. I know there's a way to hack weapon systems too. So let's see if I can. I don't think I'm gonna be able to hit that DC if they're military grade weapons.
Yeah, it's a very high DC for military grade weapons, and these are military grade weapons. I mean, you can try, but yeah, it would be pretty tough.
Well, I guess let's at least get a view before we get up there. See if there's anything else. So I will try to hack the security camera and then probably drop it before we get to the floor. So I got a 16 plus a 12 is 28, your security camera.
Great, yeah. So you just gain access immediately to that. It takes no time. So you're just suddenly, you see right in front of your eyes the hallway. From this angle, you see two people, as you expected, two sort of look probably ex-soldier types. They've got their weapons drawn, and they're staring not right at the camera, but in that direction, so probably past the camera, meaning that they're facing the back of the building. So they're clearly anticipating you. Yeah, they're clearly...
Towards the elevator.
Yeah, and you see the actual elevator, like the user elevator, the resident elevator behind them. So your perspective is that you are over the service area. So they've got their weapons drawn, and they're waiting for you.
All right, should we get off on four and try to find another way up?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is are there like stairway access to every floor? The two elevators the only way up and down?
You imagine certainly at least after the first floor, there would have to be... and Lobath could Chai Wei could tell this from being hacked in. She could probably pull up a blueprint of the building. So yeah, there are stairwells around.
All right. Well, let's push the button for four and get off before this elevator gets up to five.
Yeah, I agree. Let's bail.
I want to hit these two guys head on. In that one.
Cool. So you stop the elevator at four. You disembark. There is no one on the fourth floor. So you're in the clear, and do you send the elevator up, or do you let them do that themselves?
I'll let it continue up.
Okay, so you send the elevator on its way, so now you're on the fourth floor, which is basically identical to the fifth floor in every way. It's got a camera, it's got key cards along the sides. It's pretty empty right now. Oh, and there are the stairwells There's a stairwell to your right, right back here in the service area.
So when Chawei was in the system, has she figured out what apartment is our target, or is that something we still need to figure out?
Yeah, I don't think you guys ever asked. I think Chawei is still jacked in, so she could look that up right now if she wanted to.
Yeah, I'll check it out, see if I can get that information.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. There are resident records on the network, and I mean, it's even the post boxes are labeled, so it's easily identifiable. He owns the sixth floor, so the sixth floor is a penthouse, and that is his apartment.
All right. Do the stairs seem to go all the way to the sixth floor? Any other ways into the sixth floor that I can see?
It looks like the stairwell does go up to the sixth floor in a similar sort of service area. So kind of in the back, you know, sort of tucked away, there's a stairwell access.
All right. Well, let's, I guess, cameras or anything in the stairwells here, or do I see anything else on the network in the...
There are no cameras in the stairwell.
All right. Well, let's jump in there and head up to six, I guess. Try to bypass these guards.
You go into the stairwell and you start up the stairs towards the sixth floor, and behind you, you hear the elevator arriving on the fifth floor, and the sounds of its doors open and people disembarking, and they start shouting, you know, "Where'd they go? They were here. They were right here. I saw them." And then they kind of figure it out, and you hear them entering the stairwell. But by that time, you're well into the sixth floor. There doesn't seem to be a lock on the stairwell door, but you are safe on the sixth floor right now. In front of you is the entrance to the penthouse. So it's a nice little foyer area. It's the only apartment here. It's a penthouse, so it takes up the entire floor. There's a little table with a vase and a fake flower in it. There is a camera, a security camera, up on the upper right corner in the foyer of the penthouse, which is weird because you didn't see a camera there on the network, Chaiwei. And then there's the door, and it's a key card access to get in. But it doesn't.
Do I see the key card on the network, or is it not this one either?
Key card is on the network, yeah.
Should we try to create some kind of distraction or try to lock down the sixth floor so those guards can't get up here while we're trying to get around to make our job easier?
Try to bar the door or something?
Yeah, either that, or I don't know if there's a way to trip the locks to where they won't open anymore or something like that. I don't know what you're seeing inside, so.
There's no lock on the stairwell door. There is obviously a lock on the penthouse door. The door itself is just, it's like a wooden door, so it's not super high security door. I think by the time you get up to this point, you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to have sort of been checked at several points. So it's just a wooden door, but there is a lock. So, I mean, you could, like, a key card. So that's something, but there is no lock on the stairwell or the service elevator for that matter.
Yes, I will just try to hack the lock right away then.
Cool. Give me a roll.
Well, the 17 plus 12, so 29. But I took hacking skills.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I mean, in a cyberpunk world, you kind of want to have someone hacking on the team. Let's see. Yep, that gets in. So this is a corporate, it's a corporate building, but yeah, you're doing great roles. So yeah, you get in through the front door, or rather you unlock the door. I'm assuming you go through.
Yeah, well, I will head through. A little worried about this other network that I'm not a part of, though.
So you enter the penthouse and presumably close and lock the door behind you. And it's dark and quiet. And as far as you can tell, eerily so. It doesn't seem like there's anyone in here, but maybe he's just hiding out. I don't know. But yeah, you're in.
Right.
Should we go through and like clear the room before we try to do anything else? Maybe make sure they're not hiding somewhere?
Yeah, I guess a quick perception check to look around the room.
The room that you're standing in right now is the main, it's the lounge, it's the living room, whatever. So it's
pretty open.
Yeah, it's quite open. There's a door off to the right that leads off somewhere. There's a kitchen on the left. Yeah, and there's the usual assortment of, you know, sofas and a coffee table. And it looks fairly like bachelor-y. I mean, it's got, you know, it's got TV remotes and gaming console equipment sort of scattered around, just kind of, it looks, yeah, like not super tidy, but, you know, he's a rich guy, so he probably has someone taking care of stuff for him. But yeah, it's some random stuff around. But it doesn't look like he's, for instance, set up a perimeter or anything like that for defense or anything like that. It looks quite like an apartment would look. It's just right now it doesn't seem anyone's home.
Right. I'm going to say with my last hacking ability, when I unlock the door, can I also change the security protocol on it? I'll make it so that only we can, the two of us can unlock it.
I know that you can do that. Let me check to see what.
Do you want to, if it would be a separate check? Or
I think it would be, because that is, let me look. I'm pretty sure that's a change protocol. Okay, so that is a separate one, and it's overriding the protocol. So yeah, give me another roll for that one.
Die roller's doing pretty good. I got a 16, so 28.
Wow, yeah, that is good. Yeah, okay, cool. You changed the protocol, and none too soon. You hear the two people who were pursuing you arrive at the front door, and you see you kind of hear the telltale bleep of them, you know, hitting the key card authenticator, and it just sort of bleep bloop bleep bloop, clearly failure. At which point they start kicking the door. Madly.
Oh, damn.
Well, at least we're safe in here.
That's not a very strong door.
Yeah, it is just a wooden door, at least from the outside. I mean, maybe it's got a metal core or something, but it appears to be Brazil wood, the red one.
All right. I think we need to figure out what's going on here. So let's go start searching around, try to find the bedroom, maybe a personal computer or something, or a work room or something. So I'll go through the door. You said there was one to the right?
Yes, there is. And that looks like that leads to the bedroom.
I'll stay in the front room by the door in case things kind of get mixed up, and then we're ready to go there.
Sounds good. The bedroom has all the usual stuff. It's got a bed that's pretty tidy, a wardrobe, walk-in closet, rather. And there is a desk upon which sits a computer terminal, which, again, you didn't see when you were poking around on the network. So you're not sure if it's just not networked or if it's on its own network. You're not sure. The closet, I said that already. Yeah, that's what's in the room. Closet, desk, bed.
Right. Not really worried about anything else. I want to figure out what's on this guy's computer. I will see if I can try to that thing, or just try to get a log on for it.
Yeah, so I mean, so you'll disconnect from the main network and go into the computer network. Is that cool?
Yeah, that sounds fine. So I'll take a round, probably two rounds to do that.
Yeah, we're not in initiative, so it's fine. So yeah, so you disconnect, reconnect. So give me a roll for the firewall for the computer network, for the personal network.
I rolled a one, so all my
you used up all those good rolls, man. Oh, a 13. Yep. Nah, it still doesn't do it. Yeah. No. I mean, it is. You do get the sense that it is not actually as difficult a network to.
It's just a personal network.
Yes, yeah, just the personal network, or the right. It's a home network. Sorry. So it doesn't seem like it should be that hard, but you're unable to get past its firewall, and you're not 100% sure why. But yeah, that's a bust.
Right. Well, I think I need to try again. So know if we have time to take 20, door's probably coming down. But I'll give another try for another round.
You try again. So give me another roll.
Then I got a 20, so 32.
That's a little bit better. Yeah, so you log into the computer, and the moment you're through, there's an icon that you're not super familiar with there to greet you, and it turns out to be malware that is trying to attach itself to your system. So give me let me see what kind of role that is. I think it's fortitude, but let me check. Hold on.
Oh no, he's running Windows.
Yeah, it's a fortitude saving throw, so give me a fortitude roll.
App application, so let me see if this one, that'll help against this fortitude. 8 plus 2, so that's 10.
Okay, that doesn't quite do it. You take, let me see, I think this is how this works. I think you take damage for this. It's non-lethal damage. Yeah, okay, so you take 4 damage from the malware. I'm assuming it's a run once situation, so we'll just say that it hits you for 4, but you're still on the network, so you can look around. And you find on this computer that there is a stash of documents, photographs, things like that, that seem particularly of interest to you. And the rest of it is largely blank. It's almost as if no one's ever used this computer before, except for basically one thing, which is setting up a firewall, installing some security stuff, and then putting this stash of documents onto it. Everything else is completely stock install of the OS.
All right, well, I will drop that into my tap, my headspace, and then get back out. Was it connected to that other security camera?
Yes, it was. It was also connected to the camera, yes.
So that was the only, just this machine and the camera?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Okay, then I'll grab everything and drop it, and then head back up to the doorway.
Okay, so the guards by now, if we allow them to take 10 or take 20, I think they've probably beat down the door at this point. So you see soldiers' feet sort of pop through the door as they start to crumble it through. Do you want to do anything before they make it all the way through?
Probably no other way out of this place. At least we haven't found one. So probably just hide in the kitchen doorway.
Is there enough of them through the door that you could get a shot off? Or is it just they're through and we can't really interface with them yet?
Yeah, let's roll initiative, and we'll assume that you guys have a jump on them because they would be flat-footed right now. But let's go ahead and roll initiative really quick.
I'm 11.
And I got a 6.
Okay, cool. So they got 16 and 4 respectively. So they're kind of on either end of your initiative rolls. So Sid, if you want to take a shot at, you know, a foot or a shin or a kneecap, you can certainly do that. We could call it a called shot, which means that you take a -2 penalty to your 2-hit roll. But then you can actually target a specific part of their body, or you can just take a step back and fire towards the door and say, you know, there, take that, you fiend, whichever you prefer.
I think while I see this leg popping through the door, it's an ample time to grab it with one arm and then just bring my cybernetic arm down on it and try to snap it in half.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Give me a, trying to think if that would
I do CMB. That's
kind of what I'm. Even? Yeah, because it would be. It's so specific. So yeah, let's do a CMB roll for that one.
19.
Nice. Yeah, you snap one leg in. You make it go the wrong way. And there is screaming and screeching from the other side of the door, and the guard just falls to the ground, and can't be bothered to try to fire through any part of the door. He's in excruciating pain. The other guard, however, continues to try to beat down the door. So Lobath, let's say it's Shyway's turn. Yeah, go.
I want to help him get through the door, so I'm not going to...
Are you going
to
hold?
No, I'm going to try to... Man. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to try an intimidation check and tell him to get himself and his friend out of here. They don't want to deal with us.
Nice. Okay, yeah, go for it.
I got a 16 and a +12, so a 28 intimidation. Actually, that'd be probably one less. So anyway, it's pretty high. 7.
Okay. Yeah, that's Yeah. Okay. So you what do you tell him exactly? Just not to continue along this path?
Yeah, I tell him let's see. I guess I'll flash my badge. Tell him I work for a government corp, and he needs to get the hell out of here right now, or he's going to be in serious trouble.
Upon hearing this, certainly he stops banging down the door, and he looks at whatever you flash him, whether it's an authentic badge or not. I guess it would be authentic because you actually work for a government. So he looks at it, doesn't, you know, has no idea what it means really, and he says, "Yes, ma'am, understood." And he grabs his companion by the shoulders and just starts hauling back towards the service elevator with his partner. His partner's rifle is left there on the floor, and a hefty amount of blood from where the bone punctured his skin is sort of left on the carpet. And they retreat to the service elevator.
On his way out, I'm going to ask him who you're working for. Yeah, I think that would be appropriate too. Get his badge number, see who he's working for.
Do you call that from where you are, or do you go out into the hall?
I think we're going to head out. We'll head out there then. confront him about it.
Okay. Yeah, so you sort of get out through the rest of the door, and he sort of looks up, you know, sort of terrified for his life, thinking that maybe you've changed your mind in terms of letting him retreat. And he looks up, and he hears your question, and he says, we're working for Peter Nazari. He hired us to protect him.
Well, he's not even here. Where is he?
What do you mean he's not here?
There's no one in there. And I point back to the door.
He sort of looks really confused, and he drops his companion on the floor and sort of starts to go towards the apartment, but then looks to you sort of like, you know, can I go in?
Well, I ask him, when was the last time you saw him?
We ain't seen nobody. We just we were told to stand here and protect the penthouse.
I wave him through to see if he can find anybody in there. Thought you want to go follow him and check around the place.
Stay about 6 inches Sid. Away from him, just breathing down his neck to just keep that intimidation on, considering what I did to his buddy back there.
Yeah, that's pretty effective. He's super freaked out, and he feels very much like you outrank him. And, I mean, he's not even stopping to think about who you might be with. And so he walks through the apartment, and you get the sense that you don't get the sense that he's ever been in the apartment before. You know, it's not like he enters and then goes straight for the bedroom or goes straight for, you know, anything. He looks around, he takes out his flashlight, and he's looking around in all the behind the sofas, you know, just looking, trying to figure out what would be going on. He goes into the bedroom eventually, steps into the closet, kind of looks around, and then he finally comes out and leaves the apartment, and he says, I don't know. We were just told to protect the penthouse. I don't know what's going on.
All right, well, you two get your friend out of here and go get him some medical attention. We'll take over from here.
He says, Yes, ma'am. And he drags his partner back into the service elevator, and you hear the elevator descend.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Sid, what do we do now?
I'm thinking there's a couple options. Either this was just a front to protect where he's really at, or maybe Peter isn't even a person at this point. Maybe it's some kind of construct or an AI or something.
All right, I need to look through the files that I found on his computer. So do you want to hang out here, or should we go somewhere else?
Do we see, when we were walking around with the guard, do we see anything else that would be of any interest to us at this point?
Not a whole lot. It's like I say, it's an apartment that appears to have been well used. You're not really sure why it would be empty right now. There's not a whole lot of food in the fridge, but he's a bachelor, so maybe he doesn't keep a big stock of food. It's nothing really stands out, I wouldn't say.
Jared said he hadn't seen them at all, anybody, so I think anyone's been here for a while.
I mean, we could stay here, and maybe if he's out, we would catch him coming back, but that seems kind of unlikely, so it might be better to get into a more secure
location. You do see, now that you mention it, that you do see on the bathroom mirror, you see a little sticker, like a vinyl sticker, and it says Speedy Maids, and then it has a little slot for the date where, you know, last time someone's been through, and it was just this past weekend that a speedy maid apparently had been in the apartment and, you know, made an entry that she or he had cleaned the apartment.
Go check that out. But yeah, I don't think we want to stay around here, especially if somebody's hiring stunts to protect the apartment.
And with all the noise we've made, they're probably going to send new people, especially with the people we just sent out get to them. So. Yeah, vacating the area.
All right, yeah, let's get out of here.
Your way out is totally clear. You can just take the normal residential lift. There don't appear to be any other guards on duty or anything like that, so you just kind of waltz out. All the doors swing open for you since you're on the inside going out. I don't know, where do you guys go? Do you go to your apartments, or do you have a safe, a secret headquarters? Where do you think you go?
Did you get hit at all, or did Sid get hit at all? Do we need any medical attention?
Sid didn't. You got 4 non-lethal damage, but I don't. I that was just from that malware thing. I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't think that'll affect me that much.
That's right.
I just have a hole in my clothes. That's it.
Yeah.
I would guess we have a hideout somewhere, but we need to get out of this neighborhood.
So we'll assume that you that your fixer has probably hooked you up with sort of an office space of sorts, sort of an underground or whatever space that you can go to coordinate and collaborate. So you leave the Zhejiang district and you go into your Cromwell district, which is it's on the outer edges of the sprawl. It's a little bit sort of, I guess, well, there is no middle class anymore, but it's, you know, it's where all the normal wage slaves dwell if they don't live at their corporation, which is pretty common. Most people live at the corporation at which they work, but there are some areas for lower management that exists outside of any corporate spot, and that's where your little hideout is. So you guys go there, and it's got all the usual equipment that people of your profession would need. It's got gear and lots of computers and a little lab space and a safe spot, certainly for a hacker to put information onto a computer network and analyze without risking any further encounters with malware. And I think we could probably say that we could end it there for today. I think that's a good pausing point. You guys good with that?
All right. Yeah, that sounds good by me.
Cool. Well, thanks guys for playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I look forward to doing this again next week.
Yeah, just leave a little teaser, I guess. I guess we'll figure out what's on the computer, and then I'd also like to probably call in a favor with one of my contacts. I have a sector cop who I would like to maybe see if he can run a trace on Peter.
But yes, absolutely.
Probably start with that next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.